everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, mid-20s. Wow, we haven't had a hard freeze like this in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's predicted for Sunday night overnight and Monday night overnight.
Monday and maybe Tuesday, so... be prepared. Make sure the animals are inside or have shelter. Of course, cover the sensitive plants. And every year I say, all right, that's enough of the flowering plants. I need to plant more native cactus so I won't have to worry about all of that. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon. It is the 4th of January, 2024. We're still celebrating. It is the start of year 14 of our radio program, the start of year 36 for me in Tucson Media. And we are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's only source for local news and live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and it also is the place for all of our podcasts. And since we're talking about now 13 full years of broadcasting with my own radio show, just about every show we have done is available. Very easy to use at buckmastershow.com. There's a ton of content there. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. The lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors is Steve Christie. He has two terms as Pima County Supervisor, and then this year, 2024, he will be standing very enthusiastically, I might add, for a third term to Pima County Supervisor. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
Did you have a nice new year?
I had a wonderful new year, and looking forward to 2024 and all the excitement that lays before us. And I think it's going to be not only a pivotal year, but a huge series of events that we have coming, not only with elections, but with other elements throughout the whole year. So I'm excited about 2024, and I hope everybody else is too.
Your district includes Mount Lemmon. It looks like we could be getting the first significant real snow of the year up there. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that there was a pretty nice dusting of snow from today's storm. Temperatures around 25 degrees in Summer Haven. There's apparently going to be a stronger storm expected this weekend. So that's always exciting as far as the village, you know, having the snowfall. And of course, that means the General Hitchcock Highway, which is, the main route up to Summer Haven and back. It'll probably be closed at times for snow and ice removal. And I understand it's closed right now. And of course, Pima County Transportation Department, they're the ones responsible for clearing the roadway, and they've been doing an excellent job. Incongruous to think about in the desert, we have to worry about snowfall clearance by the Transportation Department, but they do a terrific job of keeping that roadway clear. And people don't understand, I don't think, that it's the Pima County Sheriff's Department that determines the safety, and they're the ones that close and open the road. So it's up to the sheriff's department to determine whether the road remains open or should be closed for safety reasons. And it's always a good idea to, if you're planning to go up there, to call for road conditions. And that number is 520-351-3351. Again, 351-3351. It's always a good idea to find out what the road conditions are before going on a road trip up to Summer Haven.
Supervisor, how many residents reside in Summer Haven approximately year-round?
Year-round is roughly, my understanding, somewhere between 200 and 250.
And they have all the services they need up there?
Well, as you probably ask them, and they seem to feel that they've got a real delightful environment up there year round. And they seem to be happy with how the conditions are up there, not only during the winter, but in the summer. Of course, the only issue that really faces everybody up there, again, is on the holidays and the weekends when it's a popular time for people from the valley to go up. There's a real severe lack of parking, and that can create some animosity between the valley people and the mountain people, and people need to be patient and understanding and remember that when you're parked and walking around, there's somebody else probably looking for a parking space that wants to walk around as well. So other than the parking, the residents love it up there, and they're very committed to the community up there. They're very engaged. They have we've established through our office a number of working groups that vary everywhere from the water situation to snowfall clearance on the roads. There's a very robust business group up there that meets regularly and tries to work together. So they're a thriving community, and even more so now with the lodge and the hotel, and a couple of other businesses and emporiums have opened up there, and it's a very popular getaway for so many people. It's the playground of Pima County, and we have a very terrific connection with them. Our office works closely with them. We attend HOA meetings monthly, and any other type of situation that arises, we jump in feet first to make sure that they're getting the services that they deserve. And it is a real true asset for our community in Southern Arizona to have that Sky Island up there in Summer Haven. And we also give out trash bags. That's another issue that, of course, creates a lot of tension, too, because unfortunately, people tend to leave their trash when they go up there, and it just creates a mess, and it's a real irritant for the, obviously, and it should be for the homeowners up there. So remember to bring back your trash. Don't leave it up there. You can get trash bags through my office at Summer Haven Community Center and at the Palisades Ranger Station. So there's no reason to have trash in our beautiful, pristine Summer Haven and Mount Lemmon.
All right, I agree with that. The playground for Southern Arizonans when it comes to a beach, other than San Diego, would be Puerto Penasco, also known as Rocky Point. The Lukeville border closing, that went on about a month. I'm not quite sure why it happened. Maybe you can explain it, but the crossing opened this morning.
Yeah,
reopened. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure for the businesses and the commuters, and I understand there's 2,000 to 3,000 folks a day that go back and forth over that crossing. I'm sure they're happy with it, and I'm sure they went through a terrible time with the business closure. But I think this is indicative of the situation that we have of migration and the absolute unbelievable volume of crossings that we have that are not even legal. The illegal crossings have just absolutely skyrocketed, and the amount of traffic that is there to seek asylum or to migrate or to come over into the United States is gotten to the point where obviously our resources, the Border Patrol and other regulatory agencies, they can't keep up with them, and they're basically reduced to pencil and paper pushers and trying to, you know, make some kind of sense of all the tens of thousands that come across daily in the what they call the contacts that they have. It's definitely out of control, and the volume of crossings has gotten to the point where it's an emergency. We're also experiencing, you know, a rapid depletion of federal funds. And what concerns me is every bit of funding, be it federal, state, or local, that's all of our money anyway. And it's not the Fed's money or the state's money. It's our money. It's everybody's money, the taxpayers' money. But what's even more concerning is the depletion of the federal and state funds that are being utilized by Pima County are getting to the critical point, and that means that we're going to have to use Pima County's general fund monies. And that to me is the ultimate indication that we made a wrong decision to even accept federal funding back in 2019 for asylum seekers, and for accepting all the money since 2019 for our Drexel Road Center and the Casas Elitas Center. We matriculate over 1,000 people a day now through both those facilities. That costs so much money. It's to the point it's like $4 million a month. And the federal government has provided that money. But at the rate we're going, the cash burn rate is, I think, somewhere around early March. At this rate, it's going to be depleted. And then Pima County is stuck with this condition that they started and that they asked for back in 2019. And no monies from the federal government or the state to address it. So I'm scared to death that we're going to be in a position where my colleagues will want to dip into the general fund to provide shelter, medication, clothing, food, all of the other things that migrants are being given as they come in. So that when that happens, it's going to put a strain on other county services, the core county services like roads and parks and our law enforcement and our justice system and all of the other developmental services and transportation. Those are all going to be suffering at the expense of having to dip into our funds to take care of folks that really have no business being here. So it's a very critical situation, and I'm very concerned about it.
All right, we are up against the break, but one of the latest numbers, we had gotten up to almost 1,500 a day. Has that now leveled off, or is it decreasing?
No, it's not decreasing, and as a matter of fact, I get weekly and sometimes more than weekly updates from the Office of Emergency Management, and the increase from month over month is almost mind-boggling, and then you compare it to year over year, and in some cases the daily averages are pushing the 2,000 a day, so it's not getting any better. And it's indicative of a very difficult situation that we should never have gotten ourselves into in the first place.
All right, let's pause right here. We'll have more with Pima County Supervisor Supervisor Christie with us. Steve Christie, Republican representing District Number 4 on the 5-member Supervisorial Board. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, conveniently located, especially if you're listening to the program up in the central foothills, my area of town. Mona's open now for lunch, open for breakfast, 6:30, and their website will tempt you with all the beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. They thank everybody for a great holiday season. It's the Buckmaster Show. It's the anniversary week edition as we launch into year 14. Let's take a break right here, then more with Supervisor Steve Christie.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It feels like a midweek edition because we took off Monday. So then Tuesday then becomes feeling like Monday, but it is Thursday. And that means tomorrow is our Friday Focus interview. Tomorrow, Fletcher McCusker makes a return visit. Always a great guest. Dan Scheer will be here from the Green Valley News, my co-media host during our anniversary week. With us now on our live line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, Steve Christie, Republican, the lone Republican on the five-member board that governs Pima County, the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Christie, I don't know if you saw my friend Tim Steller's column, Tim, the award-winning columnist with the Arizona Daily Star, and Tim, the headline on the column was Tucson should prepare to bolt, B-O-L-T, the RTA now. And that comes at a time, a critical time for RTA Next.
It certainly does. And I've been kind of making the clarion call for a couple of years now that the city of Tucson is not a good bargainer. They're not a good partner in this. They don't deal in good faith and they don't keep their promises.
Yeah, you've said on this show for several years now that it not a reliable the city of Tucson could not be trusted. There should be a plan B because we couldn't rely on Tucson.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that, as you point out, for a number of years now. I wrote a op-ed saying exactly that if the city of Tucson wants to leave the RTA and Pima Association of Governments and everything else, then I say let them go and good riddance. Because in order to have any kind of a successful effort of a regional nature, you have to have everybody going in the same direction, reading from the same playbook. And the city of Tucson in the last several years has proven to be just the opposite of that. They're only interested in their own agenda. Their problems with the RTA are self-induced. They're the ones that wanted to have certain projects put up to the front. And now, with some glitches in the economy that were pretty devastating to not only the country, but to the budget for the RTA, now they're obviously facing shortfalls in the monies that have been programmed for City of Tucson projects. So what they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it too. And by doing so, they're indicating very blatantly that they aren't really interested in working in any collaborative way with the rest of the region. Another example too, and that's another subject, but City of Tucson is the one that imposed differential water rates on those living in unincorporated Pima County that are City of Tucson or Tucson water users.
Yeah.
So their whole thrust is to segregate themselves from the region, to have their own playbook that they don't have to deal with that pesky RTA, that they can't play as a team player. And I've said this for a long time, and I'm still hoping with my fingers crossed that all of the experienced people at PAG and at RTA and all of the planners and administrators and individuals who have a lot of experience in transportation issues have been working on a plan B, because I predict in a matter of months, the City of Tucson will either pull out completely from the RTA or, even worse, campaign against its passage in RTA next. So I think this is a big wake-up call that needs to be listened to and analyzed, and it's, I'm sure, very frustrating for the other members on the council, the other jurisdictions, to have to try and walk on eggshells in order to placate the City of Tucson, who's really making some unrealistic demands. And of course, their whole thrust is the Green New Deal and livable streets and less lanes for automobiles and more for bicycles and mass transit and things of this nature that nobody uses. And the whole issue of the RTA was to move people, move vehicles from point A to point B. And they still haven't figured it out, because the City of Tucson keeps throwing a monkey wrench into the whole process. And it's a sad state of affairs coming from one who served on the original Citizens Advisory Committee back in 2006 to see what was a really comprehensive, community-driven plan to address our transportation needs, which were driven back then by gridlock. That was the whole impetus, the whole thrust of why the RTA was formed in the first place, because people were sick and tired of being stuck in traffic. So they developed this plan and got community approval and won the election to implement this plan that was designed to move traffic quickly, efficiently, in a throughput manner to get quicker and in a much more effective manner from point A to point B. Now it's being sidetracked with political ideology and a certain narrative and agenda to basically remove vehicles, automobiles, from the streets, and that's the primary way people travel. And yeah, it defeats the whole issue of the RTA, and it's a very sad state of affairs. But RTA and the Pima Association of Governments, they've got to be working on a plan B that does not include the City of Tucson.
All right, there's one more topic I want to bring up. But first, I heard the word green in your remarks. I want to talk about green things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They had a great holiday season, and I'm sure that once we get past this really cold snap, we'll have some milder weather coming, so good time to go buy green things, greenthingsaz.com. All right, one more topic for Steve Christie. What do you think about this plan that's being talked about to build a new jail?
Well, here again is what it needs to be focused on, and what I was hoping the so-called Blue Ribbon Commission would be focused on and focused on only, was the condition of the jail, and to determine, is it more cost-wise, is it more efficient to repair and rehabilitate the current facility, or to tear it down and build a new one? And that, to me, should be the only focus of this commission. But unfortunately, it gets sidetracked with a reimagining of law enforcement and the discussion about shortening sentences in the jail and all types of other ancillary issues that have nothing to do with the taxpayer costs here, which to me is paramount. We're looking, I've been hearing this number thrown out, $300 to $400 million for a new jail, but I haven't heard anything about what it's going to cost to rehabilitate the old one. And that's because it keeps getting bogged down in all these other areas about how we want to change law enforcement and defunding the police and all of these political agendized items that have nothing to do with the actual cost of building a new jail or fixing the old one. And that's the sad thing. Matter of fact, they had a Blue Ribbon Commission meeting several months ago, and it was disrupted by a political group whose sole intent was to disrupt the meeting and make some sort of a statement that had nothing to do with the costs involved of building a new jail or not.
Yeah, it sounds like you want to say, hey, show me the figures on fixing this thing.
Yeah, show me the figures on fixing this thing vis-a-vis building a new one. That, to me, should be the sole core direction that commission should be dealing with, and not any of the other political agendas that seem to be cropping up in the whole discussion.
All right, Steve Christie, always a pleasure. We will look for your visit. Usually we try to get you on the first Thursday of the month, and we'll look for you on February 1st, I hope. And I hope you have a happy new year and off to a good start. Thank you.
Same to you, and I love being supervisor.
Oh, that's news. All right, we've got David Levy is next, coming up right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezin67.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our anniversary week edition. We're in the 14th year now, 13 full years of the radio show, and we're starting this week, year 14 of our radio program, and my 36th year, beginning of 36 years involved with Tucson Media. I want to thank all of the listeners and the sponsors like Green Things. We're in the Green Things studio, and of course, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So many recreation activities for you over there. Southwest New Mexico, spell it out, .org, and that will get you to a website that will tempt you with lots of activities, great places to stay and to eat as well over in Silver City. One of our great contributors, we have 24 regular contributors, Dr. David Levy. Dr. Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, and Dr. Levy has been a guest not only on the radio show every month for 13 full years, but before that, a regular on my television show, Arizona Illustrated. He is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, and we're always delighted to hear from him. Happy New Year to you, David. How are you?
And thank you very much, and the same to you, and especially happier 14th year. On your program, and I really am so honored to be a part of it all these years.
Thank you very much, David. The feeling is mutual. So we've had some overcast weather. The cold weather, I assume, doesn't really impact your comet hunting, your comet viewing, but certainly...
No, it doesn't, but yeah. Bill, what's going on here? I mean, the U.S. Congress passed a bipartisan bill yesterday in which they demanded that the temperature never drop below 15 degrees Celsius here in southern Arizona. And today it's about 6.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on here. I think we're going to have to call a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, we'll have Don Luce, our attorney, on at 12:45. We can ask him. Comet hunting, though, continues on as your passion.
It does. I'm not expecting to find any more comets, but I love doing it so much. It brings me so much joy. It always had. It always did. Well, during my very happy marriage to Wendy, may she rest in peace. And I still do enjoy it. It still brings me peace, security, and serenity. And I love doing it. I just love it because it's my way of really seeing the sky field by field, star by star, not knowing the names of these things, but just enjoying the night sky.
And that's the key, just to enjoy that night sky. And maybe a supernova may, I don't know, Betelgeuse, we're hearing a lot about that. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Well, I've heard about Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse.
it's a very interesting star. It's about 600 light years from here. And that means that the star may already have gone supernova.
Hmm.
And we just won't know about it for another 300, 400, 500 years. or, Bill, it could be supernova tonight, and we might see it tonight. But I doubt that, because if it becomes a supernova, it will be visible in daylight.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that would really be something.
That would really be something to see. When was the last time something like that happened that you would see in the daylight?
I think it might have been Tycho's star in 1572.
Whoa.
And in order to find that, we'd have to go back to a very young 8-year-old prospective writer. Always thought he could be a writer and always liked to do good speeches. His name was William Shakespeare,
yep,
who probably saw that star for him so many years ago.
So David, are you doing the Adirondack Upstate New York Astronomy Retreat this summer?
Yes, Bill, we are. And this year is going to be at the end of July. And it's going to be, it's a chance for people who love the night sky to get together for a week of observing to remind them why they got interested in this in the first place. And that is so special. Such a special thing. We've run it for all these years. Wendy was in charge of it for a long time. And now we have someone from Montreal, Patrice Quetelin, who is in charge of it now, and he's doing a bang-up, wonderful job.
If someone's interested, how do they find out more, David?
Perhaps they could get in touch with you, and then you could send their...
Okay.
Send their
information.
Contact information to me.
Okay, sounds
and then
good.
I could follow up from there.
Time for the Dr. David Levy Quote of the Month on the Buckmaster
Quote
Show.
Quote of the Month. I have two to this month because it's been 4 weeks since I've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is Andrea Del Sarto, Robert Browning's Andrea Del Sarto. And it reminds me of being at a baseball game. You know how boring a baseball game can be
mm-hmm.
when nobody's getting a hit. And then all of a sudden someone gets a home run out of the park. Morello's outline there is wrongly traced. Is Hugh mistaken? What of that? Or else, rightly traced and well-ordered. What of that? Speak as they please. What does the mountain care? And here it comes out of the park. Ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for?
Very good.
The other one, it was written by Reginald Butler and published in Punch in 1923. It's called Simply Relativity. There was a young lady named Bright whose speed was far faster than light. She set out one day in a relative way and returned home the previous night.
Oh, that's it. Short but sweet.
Yeah.
All right. David, I hope you have a wonderful new year. Talk to you early in February.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill, and you have a happier year, and may you have some peace and relaxation this forthcoming year.
Thank you very much. David Levy with us on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, the attorney, Don Luce. The consular is in the house. We'll speak with Mr. Luce about the minimum wage increase in Arizona right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, celebrating our 14th, the start of the 14th year of our program. And I'm so delighted that we have this wonderful group of contributors like Dr. David Levy and attorney Don Luce, who is with me in studio of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We always find lots to talk about in his monthly visit. Author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Happy New Year to you, Don.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
You know, the year, the calendar turns, and sometimes we've got some pretty significant things that, from a legal point of view, that kick in 2024, and one of them has to do with wages in Arizona.
Yes, the minimum wage just increased. Effective January 1st, it went to $14.35 per hour. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but if you go back just a few years, the minimum wage in Arizona was $10 an hour.
And one of the lowest in the country, really, as I recall, or maybe not.
At 14, yeah. No longer.
Yeah, but when we were down at 10, it might have been one of the lowest. But now we're above, I guess, a little above.
Yes. The federal minimum wage, interestingly, hasn't changed. It's stayed the same since 2009. Think about that for a second. And the federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour.
Wow.
So Arizona's minimum wage is about double what the federal minimum wage is. And most states have minimum wages that are above the federal minimum wage. In fact, 25 states raised their minimum wage this year. So what happens is typically the wage will be adjusted for inflation, mm-hmm. and it will go up. And mm-hmm. that's why Arizona's minimum wage went to $14.35. But since you brought the subject up, let's talk about some of the other states.
Yeah.
Because there are...
If someone was looking to, I'm going to move to the state with the highest minimum wage, where would they go?
Washington.
Washington State.
$16.28 per hour.
Wow.
New York, $16.
Okay.
California, $16. But you know what's really interesting? Right here in Arizona, Flagstaff is at $16.80. Flagstaff has a minimum wage that is higher than the state of California, higher than the state of New York, and higher than the state of Washington.
Wow. So somebody looking here in Arizona wants to maybe relocate with a place and they wanted to make a little money, Flagstaff would be the place to go.
Seems like. Now,
how about low end? Do you have any of those figures? Where, if you're looking...
Some of these states in the southern United States and the Midwest are typically at the low end of the wage spectrum.
Yeah.
There is nothing that requires a state or a city or any other governmental entity, for that matter, from having a wage above the federal minimum. But as a practical matter, it's pretty darn hard to live on $7.25 an hour.
Yes, sir.
Many people would argue that it's darn hard to live on $14.35 an hour. Mm-hmm. But anyway, 25 states have minimum wages that are adjusted annually. Arizona's sort of in the middle. Some other states below Arizona, you might be surprised, by which states they are because they're located in areas where you would think there would be a higher minimum, but Delaware, $13.25.
Wow.
Missouri, $12.30. Michigan, which is an industrial state.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have a very high minimum wage.
No, $10.33.
What?
So it really varies from state to state and even within the states from city to city. And so the way this works is the federal minimum cannot be busted. You cannot go below the federal minimum. The states are free to set a minimum above the federal minimum, but not below. Mm-hmm. And so Arizona, statewide, has a minimum that is above the federal. Within the state, cities are free to set a minimum above the state minimum, and so therefore Flagstaff has a minimum that is above the state minimum. So under the doctrine of mm-hmm. preemption, which we've discussed numerous times on mm-hmm. this show, the federal government controls the minimum, sets the floor. The states can go above that, and the cities can go above the state. So you've got the federal minimum, then you've got the state minimum, and then you have the city minimum in the case of Flagstaff, which is almost $17 per hour.
Wow. All right. This lawsuit that I believe three residents, City of Tucson residents, have brought against the City of Tucson over a homeless camp in their backyard, basically, Hendrick Acres neighborhood, bringing suit against the City of Tucson concerning the homeless camp in that area in the Navajo Wash. This is an interesting story. We had Councilman Kasachek on yesterday, and City Councilman said that, well, basically, they have no standing. So I want to hear your take on this.
Right. I agree that this is a very interesting lawsuit, and it's patterned after the lawsuit that was brought against the City of Phoenix for a homeless encampment known as The Zone. Now, in Tucson, this lawsuit concerns an encampment, if you care to characterize it as that, in the Navajo Wash and spilling sometimes into the Navajo Wash Park, which is abutting the Hendrick Acres neighborhood, right? So the lawsuit here is essentially a carbon copy of the lawsuit that was successfully prosecuted in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to give some context, the Phoenix lawsuit was filed in August of 2022. We're now in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit resulted in an order from the Superior Court to the city saying, you need to essentially clean up that area. You need to remove the campers and you need to clean the area where they formerly camped. And that all had to be done by November. And it was. The City of Phoenix was able to comply with that order. But if you look at the time frame or the timeline, the lawsuit was started in August of 2022, and the order required cleanup the following year in November. So that's about roughly 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit in Tucson was just filed in September.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use the same time frame, and I'm not suggesting it'll be identical, but for a point of reference, I think it's valid. You're looking at something to occur maybe in the year 2025 regarding this encampment that the neighbors in Hendrick Acres are complaining about.
Mm.
A big difference between the two lawsuits, as I see it, is the zone had thousands of homeless campers at any given time.
Yes.
And the City of Phoenix was either facilitating or enabling social services to be provided and essentially creating a situation where masses of people were allowed to live. Whereas in the Navajo Wash, my understanding is, and I haven't been over there to witness it, but it's much fewer people. And at any given time, it may be in the dozens mm-hmm. as opposed to the thousands. Mm-hmm. So you have a much different situation in the Navajo Wash. Now, the similarities, aside from the number of people, are that the property owners in Hendrick Acres are being negatively impacted by the homeless people making a camp in the wash. Mm-hmm. And some of the same complaints exist in both lawsuits. Mm-hmm. So you have drug use, and you have public urination, mm-hmm. and you have garbage, mm-hmm. you have fires. Mm-hmm. All of these things were the same complaints that the plaintiffs in the City of Phoenix lawsuit brought, and they won. They mm-hmm. won an order based on those complaints. So you have a lot of similarities, even though essentially the numbers are different. So to your point about the city's defense in mm-hmm. in this case, mm-hmm. and by the way, for reference, this is the Bradford versus City of Tucson case. Mm-hmm. In the Bradford case, the city is saying it's immune from liability for policy determinations.
Yes.
So we this is the city's position. We, the city, acting through the city council, have made certain policy determinations concerning this issue. Mm-hmm. And you, the property owners mm-hmm. in Hendrick Acres, mm-hmm. don't have the ability to sue us for fundamental governmental policy decisions. We've decided that based on the considerations that we've taken into account, how to handle this. Mm-hmm. And if you, the plaintiffs in the Bradford case, are allowed to get an order telling us what to do, mm-hmm. then you're essentially superseding or usurping the function of the city council.
Yeah.
And the defendant in the City of Tucson case is saying, you don't have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. We, as the government, have the ability to make those determinations. But I think what the city needs to be very concerned about is that essentially a similar lawsuit involving almost identical issues of fact mm-hmm. was just concluded in Phoenix, and the plaintiffs there prevailed. So
you're talking about precedent.
It's not legally precedent because it's Superior Court. We don't have an appellate court decision, but nonetheless, I know that the trial judge in Tucson is well aware of what the trial judge yes. in Phoenix did.
Yes.
So bringing this all together, the City of Tucson and the Bradford plaintiffs are going to be getting together in a settlement conference on January 11th, mm-hmm. Which is next week.
Try to hammer something out.
Yep. What's complicating that potentially, however, is that there are two parties who are seeking to intervene in the case, saying that they represent the interest of the homeless, and their rights are going to be impacted by whatever decision the court makes, and so they want to be part of the lawsuit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And these potential interveners are Community Care Tucson and Community on Wheels, both of which provide services for the homeless. And so they're saying, we want to be part of this. Well, I'm not sure how it's going to play out having a settlement conference next week when you have two parties who want to be part of this, and I don't think they're yet truly a part of the lawsuit.
All right. We'll see how that all plays out. Fascinating stuff. Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. On behalf of Mr. Luce and Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great afternoon, everybody.